This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
China says its economy has been hit by a triple whammy of pandemic pressures. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. A drop-off in demand, supply chain issues, and weakening economic expectations. Those, China's National Bureau of Statistics says, are the biggest drags on the country's economic growth. Fresh data today show that while the Chinese economy did grow more than 8% last year, the fourth quarter saw the slowest growth rate since 2020. The BBC's Mariko Oi explains spread of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus, which the government has tried to contain, could further pressure growth at the start of this year.
It still has a zero COVID policy, which meant that some of the biggest cities have gone back into lockdown. But if you look at the data like retail sales, which came in much weaker than expected, that basically shows that consumers aren't feeling as optimistic and they're not spending as much money. So there are concerns about China's economic growth, even though the headline number of, 8.1% growth in 2021, that's pretty impressive. But of course, we also have to remember that China was in the middle of pandemic lockdowns in 2020. So it is coming off a very low base as well.
And there's normally sort of a pickup in economic activity this time of the year ahead of Lunar New Year celebrations, isn't there? That's about 2 weeks away now. How is that shaping up?
Well, I think the authorities are very much concerned about the Omicron variant, just like everywhere else. And also not just the Lunar New Year, but also you have the Winter Olympics as well. So when we're talking about the possible impact from zero COVID policy, it is highly unlikely that Beijing will ditch it anytime soon, at least not before the Winter Olympics. But also you have to remember that China's Communist Party is going to have a very important meeting later this year where President Xi is expected to get a third term in power. So a lot of economists expect Beijing to keep having this very strict lockdown measures, which is going to continue having impact on the economic growth. Also, another thing that we can't not talk about is the property sector, because we keep talking about Evergrande and other property developers. Now, the latest data out today show that investment into the sector, it's not growing as quickly. And that shows that investors are very concerned about the sector. Of course, as we've been talking about it, it was Beijing's new measures which triggered the debt crisis. So some kind of a slowdown isn't a surprise. But at the same time, a very sharp contraction, for example, would start to affect the rest of the economy because it accounts for about a quarter of the country's GDP.
Also released today are the latest population figures that showed China's birth rate has fallen to a record low. That's concerning for the government, isn't it? Because it's been trying to encourage people to have larger families.
A lot of women especially feel not so enthusiastic about that, partly because the cost of raising children has gone up massively. So a lot of people aren't as excited about it. And that really showed in that today's data that you mentioned. And that, of course, is a huge concern for Beijing because population growth has been part of the economic growth as well.
The BBC's Mariko Oi, thanks for breaking this down for us.
Thank you, Victoria.
Checking the numbers now. Despite pandemic pressures on the economy, the Shanghai Composite Index rose 0.5% in its session today. Following the latest GDP data, the central bank did cut rates on medium-term loans. Elsewhere, the Russian ruble is moving slightly higher. That's as the country's government prepares for more talks this week with Germany amid ongoing global concerns about a Russian invasion of Ukraine. Meanwhile, focus in Europe has turned to corporate earnings season. Benchmarks across the region are up in the 0.2% to 0.6% range. Shares of investment banking giant Credit Suisse are down 1.3% in Zurich this morning. That's after the company's chairman resigned just 9 months into the job amid reports he twice broke COVID quarantine rules. The BBC's Darshini David has more on that.
Antonio Horta Osorio vowed to clean up the reputation of Credit Suisse, a bank previously revealed to have been spying on employees. Instead, his short reign has been marked by its own scandals. Internal investigations are reported to have found that he breached COVID quarantine rules more than once, including on a trip to watch the tennis at Wimbledon last summer from Switzerland that should have required him to self-isolate for 10 days. In a statement, he said, "I regret that a number of my personal actions have led to difficulties for the bank and compromised my ability to represent the bank."
That's the BBC's Darshini David there. In fewer than 3 weeks, the Winter Olympic Games will kick off in Beijing, but already attention is shifting over to Paris, where the French capital will host the Summer Games in 2024. Some swimming competitions are supposed to take place in the Seine, and if you're wondering whether the water is clean enough, the city has been making changes to its sewage system to make sure that it is. The BBC's Lisa Louis has that story from Paris.
Nowadays, the soundtrack of the Seine in Paris is like this. Only boats are allowed to circulate on it, no swimmers. The capital's mayor, Anne Hidalgo, plans to change that for the Olympic Summer Games in 2024. But that's not all. We want to give Parisians the option to swim in our waterways, she said recently. Hidalgo is not the first French politician to promise that. His former president, Jacques Chirac, in 1990, when he held the office of mayor in Paris.
There are 25 fish species living in the Seine water, and so I believe it's possible to clean the river. I will go swimming in the Seine in 3 years.
Well, he did not. But Mayor Hidalgo is determined to walk the walk, or in this case, swim the walk. The city has sealed a partnership with Fluidian, a startup that has developed a machine measuring water quality, which is also being deployed in other countries, such as the UK.
Okay, ready?
Yeah. Okay. Dan Angelescu is Fluidian's CEO.
You have a cartridge that contains all the hardware needed to do a measurement. You have the reagent, you have check valves, you have a filter, you have an optical cell, so the sample is pulled in, it mixes with the reagent, it fills its reaction chamber, and then the optical measurements happen across.
So the water goes into this little tube, and then all the measurements happen inside the tube, and the machine sends you the data.
Exactly. The problem today with traditional methods is that it requires somebody to go at every one of these locations, collect a sample manually, bring it to a lab, and often the results are only available 3 days later, sometimes a week later. We can get results within a few hours.
A dozen of these devices are set to be deployed for the Olympics. They'll be linked to an app where people can check the water quality anytime at different locations. But how will Paris get the water clean?
Bonjour, Lisa Louis de la BBC, enchantée.
Jean-Pierre Tabucci is project manager at the Greater Paris Sanitation Authority, SIAP. I'm meeting him at the Sewage Museum.
We are meeting here because we have the opportunity to show you what sewers are looking like in Paris and what the problems we have to cope with.
All right, let's go. One hurdle to overcome to get the water of the Seine clean enough is a spaghetti system of water pipes in certain areas of the Paris region. The city is working to disentangle it.
We collect separately sewage water and rainwater. One of the problems that we have to face, there is wrong connection. If there is used water connected to the stormwater system, it goes directly to the river and then it pollutes the river.
In other areas, the city is collecting sewage and rainwater together. But in case of heavy rain, more likely in the times of climate change, that system easily overflows and pollutes the Seine.
in order to limit the amount of water that it is discharged to the river, we have to build tanks, storage facilities.
Those construction works will take years, but Laurent Neuville, a former professional swimmer, is already in the starting blocks. I meet him as he's training in a swimming pool in the Bois de Boulogne in western Paris.
I'm the head of a group that tried to organize a swimming competition in the Seine in 2012, but we were denied the necessary authorization. It would be mythical to swim in the Seine. The essence of swimming is open water swimming. That's how it all started before there were pools.
So do you think that one day you'll be able to do your almost daily swimming sessions in the Seine?
If the river's water quality were guaranteed, we could plan for regular swimming events. But we won't ever be able to swim in the Seine freely. You'd have to stop all the boat traffic for that.
Still, one day, the Seine might sound at least a bit more like this.
That's the BBC's Lisa Louie reporting from Paris there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.